Okay, so I want to share with you tonight a piece by Rabbi Alex Israel. So, sorry, a little under the weather. So the parasha, there's so much to talk about in Vayigash, but we'll talk towards the end. We see the descent to Mitzrayim by Yaakov and his family. And when we read these psukim carefully, which I never noticed before, there's a lot of small questions that come up. But I think that if we try to answer all of those small questions, we end up with a deeper appreciation for what Yaakov is really feeling at that moment. So the brothers come back from Egypt. They have the good news. Yosef is still alive. This is a really big deal because Yaakov has been in a state of uncertainty for 22 years. Is Yosef alive? Is Yosef not alive? I think that the psukim themselves show on occasion that Yaakov himself is not convinced that Yosef is dead. Even though it's he, the brothers never said that Yosef died, but he comes to like that realization along the way that may, you know, that he did die, but yet in the end he has like he's riddled with uncertainty the entire way. And then the brothers come back and they say, you know, Yosef is still alive. And so then the pasuk says the very end of Mem Hey, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav Od Yosef Benichai Elcha Verenu Beter Mamut. So Yaakov says, or Yisrael says, whoa, it's amazing, Yosef is still alive. I'm going to go and I'm going to see him before I leave this world. The Sfarno points out that Yaakov never intended. This is like fascinating. When Yaakov says it in Pasuk Chav Chet, the question is, what is Yaakov thinking? Says the Sfarno, he never intended on staying. He was going to catch the express camel ride, wagon ride down to Egypt, see Yosef, and then go back home to Israel. That says the Sfarno is his plan. I think that's a pretty big deal because at least I never thought that at all until I saw that Sfarno.
Nothing that would indicate that he planned to stay, because that's what he did, so that's what you think.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, for sure we'll see in a little bit what Yosef had intended.
Who said that?
The Sfarno.
So what will be the point of the puzzle player? It says, don't be afraid, or something like that.
So we're going to get to that in a sec. But for now, at least when he makes his declaration, he sounds full of like pep, very excited. We're going to do this. We got to get down there. I don't know. You know, I'm an old man and I don't want to take any chances. Let's go.
Let's get back.
I'll see him before I die. But then, Vayomer Elokim LeYisrael B'Maros HaLaila, God says to Yisrael B'Maros HaLaila in a vision at night, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineini. He calls Yaakov, and Yaakov says, here I am. Now, this is not Yaakov's only...
Let me start with Yisrael, and it says, switches to Yaakov.
Excellent. So that's good. That is one of our questions. Why the name change?
Because they showed him what the Echol Aruch, they sent him a sign, so then he was Yisrael. There was more...
In the same pasuk.
I know. One was Yisrael as his father, and one was Yaakov as his teacher. As the father. Yisrael as a teacher, and Yaakov as a father.
What was that?
Right, Simon, the Egla roof, the Egla Agala thing is anyway, like, you know, sure. That's not pshat, but that is like a, you know, like a tough one, like...
You're calling him out on not pshat, not cool.
So, I haven't said anything yet tonight that isn't, but anyway, yeah, so to Josh's point, I think that is a question that we have to try to figure out why it starts as Yisrael and then it shifts into Yaakov. But God comes to him, B'maros HaLaila, in an appearance of, at night. The Meshech Chachma says B'maros HaLaila. It's not just that this happens to be at night, but this is significant for Yaakov because he's about to enter into exile. And as that's happening, so he's terrified. B'maros HaLaila, it indicates not necessarily the time, but rather his entire mood. And God says to him, Yaakov, Yaakov, and he says, I'm here. Now, this is not Yaakov's only vision at night. Yaakov previously starts Vayetze with the dream of the ladder at night. It seems as though whenever he's leaving the country, he's afraid and he needs reassurance from God that it's going to be okay. So God says to him, Vayomer Anochi Hakel Elokei Avicha, I'm the God of your father, Al Tira Mirada Mitzrayma. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, Ki L'goy Gadol HaSimcha Sham, because when you get there, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Anochi Eredimach Mitzrayma, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Ve'anochi a'alcha gamalo, and I'm going to come up with you as well. Yosef yashit yado einecha, and Yaakov will touch your eyes. So what does that mean? Right. So don't be afraid. You're going to be successful and become a great nation in Egypt. Now, even though Yaakov and his, let's say, grandchildren numbered 70, about, mm-hmm. right? So that's like not a small family.
Yeah, not
right. It's, I mean, you know, it depends on what standard. It's like by modern Orthodox standards to be able to say that, you know, children and grandchildren and parents is 70 is impressive.
Not when you've got 12 kids.
Right. So by modern Orthodox standards, if you go to like, I don't know, Borough Park, Williamsburg, you're like, okay, so 70, not quite, you know, such a big deal. That could be a lot of families that have that. But he's not the Goy Gadol. That's not the Goy Gadol. So you're going to have to go down there to become a Goy Gadol.
But then again, like we said earlier, Sforno said that all his intention was to go to Egypt and go back to Eretz Canaan. But then if God's telling him, oh, you're going to become a great nation in Egypt, wouldn't that be more worrisome? Be like, oh, am I not going to come back?
Fine, so that's true. God is actually telling him, I want you to know that your plan is very nice, but that's not my plan. My plan for you is not to be there for a day or two and then come back, but rather my plan is for you to be there for a longer amount of time.
If that's the case, then yeah, I would be worried too about Yaakov, because look what happened last time he went out of the land. He thought he'd be there for 7 years, and then boom, he stuck it for like, what, 21, 22 also?
Right. Well, maybe he didn't even think he'd be there for 7 years. He might have thought he'd be there for like one or two. Fine. But what does Pasuk Dalet mean? Right? I'll go down with you and I'm going to come back up with you. Meaning, is that really like the same thing? Now, we know, how did Yaakov leave Egypt? He didn't leave on his two feet, right? He went back in a box. So, you know, as much as God is saying to him, hey, I'm going to take you, I'm going to come down with you, and I'm going to also bring you back up, perhaps it's not exactly the same thing.
The terminology is very different, right? Going down there, he says, I'm going to go with you.
And then back, I'm going to bring you up.
Back up, which he is, he's brought up.
Right, and also, what does it mean when it says Yosef will put his eyes, his hand, you know, Yosef will put his hands on your eyes.
Got me there.
So what does that mean? Meaning, like, I don't know, like... I don't know what that means.
Ignore him.
What?
That's not what he's talking about.
No, so...
Ignore him.
So the question is that simply... is that simply that he... somehow touching the person's face or his eyes is like a term of affection? Does it mean that you'll see him? Or does it mean something else? So that's you know, Pasuk Dalet. Vayakom Yaakov mi-Be'er Shava. Yaakov gets up from Be'er Shava. Now, this is no longer Yisrael. But, like, the Psukim have made a full-out transition to Yaakov. Yaakov leaves from Be'er Shava. Now, why does this have to happen in Be'er Shava? Why couldn't this happen anywhere else? It's another question. And Bnei Yisrael carry Yaakov, their father, and the children and their wives in the wagons that Paro had sent to carry them. Anybody see a very big change between Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Aleph? Right, how does Yaakov travel in Pasuk Aleph?
Yeah, he seems to be in the lead.
Right, Yisai Yisrael, v'chala shelo. Yaakov is leading the way. He's on his own two feet. He has like a lot of pep, a lot of spirit. He's got quite a sense of independence. And then what happens to Pasuk Hey?
Have to drag him down.
Yaakov, Yaakov gets up. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, Yaakov avihem. Anybody that saw the Siyum HaShas, I know I saw it from the very toasty comfort of my home. But if you you watch some of the Rebbes that, and even, you know, it's funny when you watch Rabbi Frand, if you've been watching him for like years now, like even Rabbi Frand don't look so young like he did.
Yeah, he got old.
Two Siyumim ago, right?
Yeah,
here at 15 years makes a difference. But when you watch some of those rabbis that are walking up there, it's not Vayisai Yisrael. They're not, you know, there's this one who's holding his arm and the other one and he's got his cane and his walker and whatever.
Silver cane.
It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hardly Pasuk Aleph. Yes, maybe when they get up there, they're fully, you know, their voice is able to, you know, get their message across. But the body... body is not quite the same thing. What happened? See, that's the problem. The problem is you want to tell me that Rabbi Frand looked one way in Siyum in 2012 and looked different in 2020? Fine.
Again, if we're going off the shop.
But he's still in Eretz Yisrael. He's still in Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is for sure geographically Israel. The question is, how does he within the night? How is it within the night he transitions so much? Now I know some of you are thinking, but I also, when I wake up in the morning, this was not how it was when the Chabura started 12 years ago. But yeah, sometimes when we get up in the middle of the night, in the morning, right, we krechts out of bed. You know, there's a little less energy and whatever. Fine. It's possible. But Yaakov seems to go from being this powerfully independent spirit to he could barely move. How does that happen?
Because he's not excited anymore. He knows what's really going to happen.
Okay. Could be. Pasuk Vav. So Yaakov takes all of they take all their stuff. They come to Mitzrayim. Yaakov and all the his kids with him. It's his sons, his grandsons, everybody. He's got the whole everybody with him, and he brought everybody to Mitzrayim. So what happens next? So we got a lot of questions. I want to try to answer five questions tonight. The first question was, what was Yaakov afraid of? Al tira, don't be afraid. If God has to say don't be afraid, it means he's afraid. What is he afraid of? And what does God reassure him of? That's question number one. Number two is, why does he bring korbanos? And if he's bringing korbanos, why dafka does he bring the korbanos to who? Elokei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. Why not his own God? Why not the God of Avraham? That's the second question. The third question is, why does Yaakov's name shift from Yisrael to Yaakov? Fourth question is, what's the deal with those words, Yosef Yashit Yado Aleinecha? And the last question is, Vayisa Yisrael versus Vayisu B'nei Yisrael at Yaakov, why the sudden loss of his independence? That's what I want to try to figure out tonight, those five questions. Yeah.
I think it all fits in with your first point, that he wasn't really intending to stay. He was just intending to go and then go back to Eretz Yisrael, but I think here he realizes he's going to die in Egypt.
Okay.
Which is where the Yosef putting his hand on your eyes, he's going to close your eyes after you die.
So what you're saying is there's a loss of spirit. Something in the dream, even though somehow God in this dream is supposed to reassure him it's going to be okay, that like sucks the life out of him. Okay, so that we're going to see that in just a few minutes, that what the, some of the Mefarshim feel that way. So the question is, how long did Yaakov plan on staying? So according to the Sfarno, Yaakov's plan was to stay for how long?
4 to 5 years.
According to the Sfarno, El Chaverenu B'Terem Amut, is you talking about a couple... No!
So go see him.
What does he need? He doesn't need to stay there through the famine, because he'd what does be he dead. Have? Yosef is his son. If he wants to go back to Canaan,
give him food to go home with.
Right, meaning he's going to go for a few days. He'll stay at like the some nice Hilton or whatever on the Nile River, and then once he's seen his son for a few days, it's enough, and he'll go back and he'll live in Canaan until he dies. That's his plan. What's Yosef's plan? So take a look at Memhei Ted. Maharu v'alu el avi. Yosef says, go up quickly to your father, v'amar temelav, and say to him, komar bencha Yosef. This is what your son Yosef says. Samari elokim adon nuchal mitzrayim, reda ilay al tamod. God has made me the master of all of Egypt. Come down to me, don't stay there. Yashavta b'Eretz Goshen, and you'll stay in Eretz Goshen. Vayita karov elai, you'll be close to me. Ata uvanecho v'nevanecho v'tzoncho v'korcho v'chol asher lach, you and all your children and all your animals and everything you have. V'chilkalti otcha, and I will feed you, sham, over there, ki od chamesh shanim rav, because there's still 5 more years of famine. Pentivaresh ata ubeitcho v'chol asher lach, because I don't want you and the whole family to die. According to Yosef, what was the plan? Yosef's plan is, you're not coming down for a few days, Dad. You're going to come down for the duration of the famine. 5 years. Ah, the Medrash says that what? Which could... That the famine ended when he got there, which could very well be shot, because once he gets down there, for the most part, we don't really hear much of any more famine. So maybe the famine did end as soon as Yaakov got down there. But okay, the plan according to Yosef was, you got to ride it out. 5 more years, and then you're going to leave. So they leave Egypt, they go up to Canaan, to their father. Vayagidu lo lemor, od Yosef chai. Yosef is still alive. V'chiyu Moshe v'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He's the leader of all of Egypt. Vayafag libo kilo milahem. His heart skips because he doesn't really believe it. Yaakov can't believe that this is actually happening. Vayidavru elav kol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem. They share all of Yosef's words. Perhaps what are those words that they're sharing? That he's the Adon l'chol Mitzrayim, they already know. But what? That you need to live down here for what? 5 years to ride out the famine. He sees the wagons, and he knows that it's okay, his spirit is lifted. What do the wagons do? So again, maybe like Shmuel said, as he remembered, the last thing that they learned was Egla Arufa, as opposed to Agalos. Same word, Egla Agala, it's close enough. Fine, it was a connection. Or maybe he just thought to himself, wait a second, these are royal wagons. Where did royal wagons come from? It must really be that they're right. Yosef is the one in charge, and he sent for me, we should go.
When Yaakov died,
yeah,
Yosef did escort the procession back to Hebron.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Yosef leave Mitzrayim and properly show Kibbutz Av by going up to say, I'm alive now? Why do you have to send the brothers up on his behalf?
So I think there's a couple answers. First off, yeah, like they're in year two of the famine and Egypt has no money and the people are like coming to him and selling themselves, and he's in the midst of redoing the entire economic like system of all of Egypt. It's a little, you don't take a vacation.
Not a vacation. What is it, 2 days?
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit more than that. You're talking probably a week or two.
They wouldn't know if he would come back.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm Paro, I'm not going for that.
Hey, you didn't know if Yosef was going
to
come back.
Yeah, I'd be like, listen, like, we got big stuff coming here, and you're the only one that knows what to do. So, like, we can't send you we can't email, fax, or anything to, like, Canaan. Like, you got to be here, and you got to take care of it. By the time he's ready to bury his father, like, there's not much for him to do. I don't even know if he has that position anymore. Fine. So, Yaakov plans on going for a couple days. Yosef expects 5 years. What is God saying? What's God's plan? How long is Yaakov supposed to be there? So is there an indication from the dream how long he's going to be there for?
Enough to become a
Goy Gadol. Well, how long does it take to become a Goy Gadol?
Really long time.
Right, so it depends how many children everybody's having at one time. Okay, so becoming a big nation will take a while. Okay.
Bnei Akiva that came to me is saying, like, this is typical of what happens. He leaves Canaan, goes to Galus, and he gets stuck there. He lays roots down, stuck there. It's a prototypical lesson. Don't leave.
Yeah, except God is telling him here, you should go. So the, you know, the Bnei Akiva, Nick, maybe God talks to him also, I don't know. But yeah, there is, God is saying, it's okay, I want you to go to Egypt. So, I want to share with you a fascinating Radak. The Radak wants to know, why does he specifically bring Korbanos Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Yitzchak? So Amar Kain, Lefisha Yitzchak Aviv Hayarid Sono, Laredet Mitzrayim, Mitnei Arav. He says, because if you remember the story, what did Yitzchak want to do? When Yitzchak goes to Grar in the beginning of Toldos, Grar was simply the... Right. But Grar is on the coast, and you go from there to the Gaza Strip, and that's the shortest route to... The shortest and safest route to Egypt. That's where he's planning on going. So, V'amar lo hakel, God says, Al teirid Mitzrayim. God says, don't go to Mitzrayim. The Radak says the reason why Yitzchak is going to bring korbanos to God of Aviv Yitzchak is he's saying, God, I don't know what to do. But my father was in the same position. So I'm asking you, what do you want me to do? Should I go? Should I not go? And not only that, but v'zavach zvachim harbei. Sorry, I just skipped to the Rambam. Oh, and actually, no. V'zavach zvachim be'er shava. And the reason why he does it in Be'er Sheva, shu b'ktzei eretz Canaan. It's the edge, the end of Canaan. The kodem shiatzim in the aretz ratzala dat ritzon hakel. He wanted to know, what does God want from me? Will God say to him, don't do it? Don't leave. Or not. And he brings the korbanos, strike. Why? Because he wants nevuah. He says, God, I'm hoping that I could have nevuah so that you could tell me, should I stay? Or should I go? That says the Radak is the purpose. If you take a look at Rashi a little bit higher up, Al Tiram Yer David Tzraima, Rashi says, Lefishaya Meitzer Al Shenizkak Letzeit Lechutz Laretz. The reason why he's afraid is he was afraid to leave Israel. So Rashi and Radak say, what is he afraid of? He's afraid of leaving Israel. So he says, I don't know. Should I leave? Should I stay? God, give me direction. And that's when God is saying, Al-Tira, don't worry. I give you permission. And it's going to be okay. And when you leave Egypt, what's going to happen? Ki l'goy gadol ha-simcha sham. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Who does that sound like? Avram. Right, it's like the second time. Avram was lech lecha mi'aretzecha. You know, back then we think, oh, he was going to Eretz Canaan. But where was the Al-Tahaim for Avraham? Where they spoke Yiddish, I'm sure. Right, but where was that? It was in Haran. That's where he was from. So for him to pick up and leave, he's fearful. What does God say to him? No, Kilakoy Gadol Simcha Sham. I'm going to make you great there. That's what's going to happen to you. It's the same thing. Neither one of them really wants to leave. They're happy where they are, and yet God says it's going to be okay. So I want to ask a question that I think is a really good one that I never thought about. Why did the Jewish people have to stay in Egypt for so long? You know, it's like one of those obvious questions that you wonder why you missed all those years. But why? Okay, they're there. I know the Psukim say 400 years. We know it's not 400 years. It's 210 years. Why do they need to be there for 210 years? Now, if you want to tell me it's Kil Goy Gadol Asim Chasham, you become a great nation, they probably grew fairly rapidly. And they probably, there's a lot of Jews that are lost too. The death and slavery and a lot of those other things. Why couldn't God do it in 50 years? A lot happens in 50 years. 100 years.
Because the longer you're in a place, the more comfortable you become.
The more corrupt
you become.
But why would God want that? Meaning, what's the purpose?
Because ultimately, the end goal is to...
Yeah, okay. Also, like, Hilagoy Gadol HaSimcha, why can't you become a great nation in Canaan? Why does it have to happen in Egypt? So that's really the question I want to try to figure out tonight. So let's take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Ki kasher ba Yaakov lared Mitzrayim, when Yaakov went to go down to Egypt, ra'akia galut yetchil bo uvezaro." Yaakov saw and realized that the galus was going to start. It was going to happen with him and his children. Now, Rav Soloveitchik points out that Yaakov actually thought that he did it already. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv, bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva rashi. He says he wanted to sit in peace. You know what Yaakov said? I did it. I did 20 plus years in Haran. I was in exile. Lavan tried to destroy me on some level. I did it already. Galus already happened, therefore bring the Geula. Yaakov had really hoped for this brief period that all that bad stuff that was supposed to happen, Bris Bein Absarim, God doesn't say where it's going to happen. He says, I think this is it. And so he hopes that, but when he's going down, says Ramban, Yaakov realizes, no, the galus is going to start with me and my children. Upacha mimenu. And he was terrified of this. V'zavach zvachim rabim. L'pachad aviv Yitzchak. And he brings lots of korbanos to the God of his father. Shelo temidas hadin metucha kenegdo. Because he knows that in galus, midas hadin is going to rule. That we see all too often, that's the very nature of galus. Right, that lots of people, you know, if you look at the Holocaust, there's such tragedy. And you look and say, how did these people, some of these people were tzaddikim, how could that be? The answer is, we don't know. Right, we discussed this at some point in the last year or so. It's not our place to question God. But the way it works is, in galus, midas hadin reigns. And that means God does and looks and says, not my problem. Let the natural course of the world take place. And Yaakov says, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. For us, it's at Be'er Sheva. Why does he do it in Be'er Sheva? Shehu beit tefila lavotav. It's a place where the avos had davened. U'misham natal reshu b'lechto l'charan. That's where he had left to Haran. That's where he had davened then. Ramban says, Yaakov is told he's going to be going into Galus. But he wants to stay in Egypt to be short. And yet God says to him, it's not going to be short. It is going to be a very long stay. And that's why, Vayisa Yisrael, Yaakov goes with energy. Ve'erenu b'terem amut. And yet, after he hears what God says, it sucks the air out of him. And he's done. He has no more energy. He's an old man. He's a broken man. And he recognizes it's not going to work out so well for him, at least in the short term. When we learned Vayeshev, which seems like a lot of weeks ago, but when we learned Vayeshev, so we discussed how that Ish was God's way of showing that he is like completely making the story happen. Every stop, every step, it's all God. Vayomer lo, if you take a look at Lamed Zayin Yedad, Vayomer lo leich nareit shlom achecho v'chom atzon v'ashiveni davar v'yishalcheu me'emek chavron v'yavo shchema. Yaakov goes and sends Yosef to find out how the brothers are doing. He comes to Shechem, he meets the man. Rashi points out, we learned this, Rashi, me'emek Chevron, from the valley of Chevron, says, Chevron Bahar, but Chevron is in the mountain. Shenemar v'yalu b'nega v'yavod Chevron. They went up to Chevron. Elo me'etza muka shalotu tzadika kavur b'chevron. Rather, this is all based on the conversation that God had had with the tzaddik that was buried there. The kaima shenemar be'avram le'avram be'bris bein absarim le'avram bein abtarim ki geriyah zaracha. Rabbi Alex Israel points out that God's hand orchestrates this whole thing. The galus that the Jewish people are about to go into, God has made every step of the way. He's made it happen. Yosef's ending up where he ends up, God moves all the pieces to put all the pieces in place to put the Jews in Galus. So the question, though, is why do we have to stay there so long? So I want to share with you the Svarno. The Svarno has a fascinating comment. He says, Anochi akel lokei avicha. God says to Yaakov in his dream, I am the God of your father. Anihu shamarti lavicha al teri mitzrayma. I'm the one that told your father. Your father Yitzhak wanted to go into Mitzrayim. I said, you can't go. And anihu shomer ilecha al tira mirada mitzrayma. And yet I'm the one that says, no, don't be afraid to go to Mitzrayim. Ata v'zeh ki l'goy gadol asimcha sham. I'm going to make you a great nation there. So what? Well, again, why does it have to happen in Egypt?
Why couldn't you make him a great nation in Israel?
Yeah, why couldn't it happen in Israel, right? We believe that the Jewish people are at their finest and they're at their best in Israel. So why can't it happen there? So listen to what the Svarno says. If the Jewish people had stayed in Canaan, hayu mitchatnim b'knanim, they'd marry the Canaanim, ומתערבין עמהם, and they would mix with them. אבל ממצרים לא יקרה זה. But that can't happen in Egypt, כי לא יוכלו המצרים לאכול את העברים לחם. Because the Egyptians were not willing to eat bread with the Jewish people. כאמרם רזל, והי שם לגוי גוי, מלמד שהיו מצוינים שם. God says, you became a nation there. Why? They were successful there. How? And they stuck out. How did the Jews stick out there? The Jews stuck out there because the Egyptians refused to mingle with them.
They had to wear a star on there.
Yet what happened? Yet what happened? What happens? What happens in Canaan? What happens in Canaan? We know what happens in Canaan because that's all of Sefer Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, right? What happens there? There, the Canaanim were like, hey, let's be friends. And yet the Egyptians say, we're not interested in it. So the Sfarno says that the only way for the Jewish people to grow properly is for them to be in Egypt in a nation that will force them to be on their own, that will refuse to allow them to intermarry and to mesh in with them.
What's funny is we get credit for that, though, right? Like, isn't it that we get credit that the three things we didn't change? Like, is it, I mean, like that we didn't, like, you know, change our name. But the Egyptians didn't want us to, really, in all honesty. Like,
right.
The Egyptians, it's not like they tried to get us.
I thought it was more of a needed, though. Like by Bill Marasha, it says, Hain Adam Levad Yishkam. Like, we're always going to be separate.
we're always going to be separate, but it doesn't always work that way. Meaning, right, like there is, you know...
Well, when it says there, hand on the body, you just code it's a negative. Right, like... They're a separate. They're like.
I don't know if that's necessarily negative. That's it's a really it's a great chapter in the Prime Minister's. It's Menachem Begin used to have he had like a Tanakh study session I think on Motzei Shabbos in like the Prime Minister's residence, and like it was a very like mixed group of people that were invited. You had like from people, not from people, and Menachem Begin would like throw out a different topic each week to discuss. And he discusses like this, that pasuk of Heina Am Levadad Yishkon, and he doesn't necessarily say it in a negative way. It's like that's who we are, the Jewish people. We live alone. Is that a bad thing? Not necessarily. Meaning, we can make it something special, right? If we show the world what we're really about, then Heina Am Levadad Yishkon. We show everyone the moral fiber. I told this story to somebody here, but I'll share it anyway. A bus driver in school came to me like a week ago, and I was like, it really like could have been anti-Semitic, but I'm gonna take it not that way. And he was like, you know, talking to me about how he needed a lawyer, a family lawyer, whatever it is, and he said to me, he goes, your people, they just have the best lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I think that's
it's Emmis.
Without sharing,
also make the best doctors.
Without sharing the full context of the story, because with the context of the story, I think it comes out that I think it may be coming from a good place, but yeah, I think there is something to it that we are Am Levadad Yishkon. We are living up to a different standard. So that's what the Sfarno says. I want to share with you what the Nitziv says. So the Nitziv, which I think is fascinating because it just shows us that often the Mefarshim are speaking from the times that they live in. And I think that matters because I think that the way we understand Chumash is very often through the prism of the times that we live in. And that's why it changes from week to week. You know, how you read the Chumash 5 years ago is not necessarily how you're going to read it after the last couple weeks. So here is the Nitziv's comment. He says, Ki tova Mitzrayim. Right, Yaakov says, so Yosef says to the brothers, Par is going to ask you what you want, what you do. This is what I want you to tell them. Tell Paro that you're shepherds. Why? Because it's a toeva to Mitzrayim kol ro'ei tzon. So then it's an abomination to Egypt, those people that like to shepherd. So v'lo yirtzeh lo shivcha b'makom ikar yishuv. Nitziv says that he did not want, Yosef did not want the brothers to be placed in the major communities of Egypt. Kach alad b'dat Yosef l'saveva davar le'agia l'tachlit ha-mevukash. Yosef's end goal was to force the card to be l'shevet b'dat. He wanted them so badly to be alone. I would use the word ghetto. Mm-hmm. What Yosef is trying to create is he's trying to have the Jewish people placed in a ghetto. Afal gav sheyeh beofen sheyuachavu beit aviv lavuz. Even though it's going to be embarrassing. His brothers will be scorned. Be'enei paro. Yosef understood that the only way to keep the sanctity of the Jewish people is to live by ourselves. And the main purpose of and the main desire of Yosef, Lomar Laparo Lashom Bawe Lai, Kadesh Ro E Imyak Pid Paro Alamro Shabol Tsarcho Az Yva'er Kavanat Varav Ele Shabol Veito. He wanted to see what would be his reaction. What would Paro's reaction be when he says they want to be by themselves? He couldn't outright say, I want to live in Goshen. Meaning he didn't want them to look and say, they don't want to be part of us. Right? Nobody wants them to be, Yosef did not want that. This is what the Jews never want, is you never want them to question your
loyalty.
It's not that we're not loyal. We want to be Egyptians. But you don't want us to be Egyptians. We want to live in the metropolis. We want to live in the main cities. But you say that we're not able to. And yet says the Nitziv that somehow, God orchestrates it, the power doesn't even have to come to that. Power says, go live in Goshen, everything is going to be great. So, we had a lot of questions at the beginning. Mm-hmm. What was Yaakov afraid of? How does God reassure him? Yaakov is afraid. He's afraid that he's going to be down there and it's not going to be good for the Jews. God reassures him, it's going to be fine. The Jewish people will become as great as they can only in Egypt. Why does he bring korbanos to Yitzchak? Because he's struggling with exactly what Yitzchak was struggling with. What's the purpose? Am I allowed to leave? And God says, yes, you're not like Yitzchak, and you should leave. Why this shift of name from Yaakov to Yisrael? When he starts off Yisrael, Yaakov has this vision of himself so lofty and so great. And yet God says it's not actually going to quite work out that way. You're going to be kicked down quite a few notches. It is the beginning of exile. Yisai Yisrael, yeah, Yaakov goes with Pep, but he loses all of that. And Anochi Alcha Gam Alo, yes, I will take you down, but I will bring you up not quite the way you went down. But the question is, why does God have to keep them in Egypt for so long? And that, I believe, is the Sfarno and the Nitziv. The purpose was to create the environment where the Jewish people could grow. Who were the wives of the brothers? Likely they were Kananim. You live with the Kananim, you're going to become like the Kananim. Your family are Kananim. Everybody's got to make that decision. Do we want to live a wholesome Jewish lifestyle? Do we want to live an enjoyable life like the Kananim? We know it's hard. And we know that probably the success of our community is that to a certain extent, we live badad. We live in some sort of ghetto type thing. Yes, I know West Hempstead is not a ghetto. But if you really think about it,
it's a nice
right? We know, I actually, like, I see this all the time, right? Like, on my block, this is a reflection of the people on my block, but... Like the four from families, three from families, like super tight. We all know each other. Our kids go back and forth, backyard to backyard, right? The non-Jewish people, the proof of how close I am with some of my non-Jewish neighbors is it took me, when I had to put one of my neighbors in my contacts, I didn't know what her name was. We'd been living there for a lot of years. It's actually in my phone, under dog lady. It's just easier. You can only ask, so, right? That. No, that's like blocks. That's blocks and blocks away.
She's not his name.
Anyhow.
Oh, Shirley's dog.
No. Oh yeah, she is.
Oh yeah.
He's
dog man.
Oh yeah.
I knew Shirley before he had a dog. But anyway. The reality is that we do live like that. But if we were in a situation where our neighbors were also our machatanim, and our kids had to choose between our lifestyle and the non-Jewish lifestyle, it's not so simple. And that's what God said. You got to go down there. You got to make it work. I want to end, though, by taking a look at Yosef's perspective on the whole thing. Vayomer aleihem Yosef al tirau ki atachar alukim ani. Yaakov dies. The brothers are terrified. They hide. They send some emissaries to try to like tell Yaakov, Yosef, you got to be nice to him. And Yosef said, what are you afraid? Am I in place of God? Atem chashavtem alai ra'a alukim chashava letova. You thought bad, God thought good. Because God had the plan to make this all happen. God was going to make us successful. Ari, you said you listened to Rabbi Sacks. I said I didn't listen to Rabbi Sacks. It's true. I didn't lie to you. I never listened to it. But I did read it briefly. I want to share with you just a small snippet of Rabbi Sacks. Yosef says in the end that what? This whole thing, everything that happened, it's all Yad Hashem. The Jews, they need to go into exile. It's a necessity. Fine. Well, so that's Rabbi Israel. That's what Yosef gets to in the end. He acknowledges that God made this whole thing happen. He brought us here for our exile. I'm going to make the exile a little bit sweeter. But if you actually read it carefully, he's actually saying, you thought bad. Look, it all worked out well. Mm-hmm. Did Yosef always feel that way? The answer is no. What did Yosef say to the Sar HaMashkim at the end of Vayesha?
Remember me.
But what, besides remember me is like, remember me, get me a job in the palace, right? Maybe he doesn't have grand plans of like being the viceroy, but what does he plan? Maybe I'm a good slave. I'm an excellent administrator. I was an administrator by base Potiphar. I was an administrator in the jail. Like, it would be nice not to have to live in a jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he says. But what does he say to him? What happened to me? Ki gunov gunavti. Right. He says, I was kidnapped from my land. I didn't do anything. Did he always feel that way? The answer is no. When does Yosef come full circle? After he becomes a Mishnah Lamelech. After everything works out, then he's like, yeah, you see? All along I knew this. So I believe Rabbi Sacks shares a beautiful idea, and that is probably the key ingredient to Jewish success. How do we make it? How do we make it through Galus? You know, it's a question I always wondered. I don't know. Malki sent me the video from the Siyam HaShas, the Shoah Memorial piece, mm-hmm. right? So you watch it, and it's like amazing because when all the people that are talking there are most of the people are dead, right? But it's not from this Siyam HaShas. It's from a bunch way back. And they're all talking, but they're talking differently. They're talking because they are survivors. And if they're not survivors, they're much more directly connected to survivors than we are. And certainly than our children, right? Like, our children are lucky. Maybe they got to meet a survivor, but like, they don't appreciate it the same way. How did the survivors pick up? How are they able to do it? So, I believe that Rabbi Sacks actually explains Yosef so beautifully, if I remember Rabbi Sacks from earlier in the week correctly. There's an unbelievable gift that we have, and that gift is the ability to reframe things. You see something, and it's bad, and yet with the passage of time, what happens? No, it's not really so bad, and it's like this, and if you see this, look, all the pieces came in place, and it all worked out. That's God's gift to us. We're able to reframe things, and because we're able to do that, we're able to spin things positively. I remember when I was in 12th grade, I worked in Morasha for the summer. It was the best summer of any camp that wasn't Ala Derech. Awesome. So when I worked there, The truth is, I had like the worst bunk. My kids were insane, right? My co-counselor was like awful, like v'chule v'chule. And yet somehow when it was all over, I was like, it's the best summer, right? Now in week 7.5, I was like, I am never coming back. I am so done. Check it off my list. I worked here. I'm good, right? And yet, what happened like 6 weeks later? Oh my God, it was amazing. I have to go back. It's God's gift to us. We're able to reframe things to change it in our head to make it out to be more positive. Yosef has the gift, and that's how he's able to go from the Saramashkim ki gunov gunavti, and he's able to see, look, you see, God did this all to make it happen. I think that's his gift. But I think that's also the gift of galus. That's the gift to survive galus, rather. Galus is not a gift. God said the Jewish people have to be in galus. And it had to be in Egypt. There was no other place where the Jews could live like the Sfarno and the Netziv say, Badad. They could live completely isolated. There was no other place. And yet, it is so painful and it takes such a toll. So how do the Jewish people survive it? I believe that's the gift that Rabbi Sacks suggests. During this whole time, where they can't fully appreciate what the end goal is. And they don't even know, will we be the ones to leave? I don't know. Because statistically, we're most likely not to make it. What are they able to do? They're able to reframe it and see, look, this is God making it happen. Al tirau, al tira. Don't be afraid. The only way to not be afraid is to know that God is orchestrating this whole thing. And that somehow God is orchestrating this whole thing with our best intentions. I'm not brazen enough to suggest that any galus that we're in now or any point over the last close to 2,000 years, I'm not brazen enough to say that I understand why God made it happen. There are people that are willing to do that. I'm not willing to do that. But what I am willing to say is that I believe God's promise is that no matter what happens and no matter what the exile looks like, there is the promise that God will stay with us and that somehow we will survive and often thrive despite all the challenges that we go through. The hope is that we could eventually reach the point of Pasuk Dalet, Anochi Redimach Mitzrayma V'Anochi Alcha Gamalo. That where God will go down with us, yes, that is a guarantee. That's the guarantee of galus. The hope is that we could all witness and see the miracles of Alcha Gamalo going back up. And hopefully when we do see it, it won't be from the perspective of Yaakov in a coffin, but rather it will be alive in a vibrant and healthy way.
Me. Oh, what's the end?